Hey everybody, welcome to episode 5 of Real Weight Loss. Thank you to everyone who has subscribed and has been listening so far. Today we're going to be talking about step 5, sticking to your plan. This is the last of these steps that I'm defining as the big overall steps that a person goes through with the process of weight loss. At this point, we're going to assume that you've been following a food plan of some sort, you've started to work in some exercise, and you've been doing all this for a little while now. What I want to do in this episode is identify some common things that throw people off, go through those one at a time, and hopefully help with some suggestions or thoughts, at least, on what can be done. First, we'll talk about something that can be kind of comforting. The scale lies. It does indeed. Second, we'll discuss setbacks to your plan. And third, we'll talk about slow weight loss. And last, we'll talk about quitting altogether. So, here we go. The scale lies. Have you ever stepped on the scale one morning, only to find that you weigh 2 pounds more than the day before? How could that be? The truth is that you don't really weigh 2 pounds more. 1 pound of fat is the equivalent of 3,500 calories. That means that you'd have to eat twice that much, 7,000 calories, above what your body needs to maintain its weight, in order to gain 2 pounds in one day. It's not likely that you've done this. If you can maintain your weight on, say, 1,800 calories per day, then an extra 7,000 calories on top of that is more than 4 times as much food as you usually eat. There are a lot of little things that could cause the scale to tell you that you weigh more than you really do. A very common issue is being dehydrated. Interestingly, you will retain water when you're dehydrated. That's the body's way of making sure you have enough water, just like how it retains fat to make sure you don't starve. So, even though it seems counterintuitive, to avoid water weight gains, you should drink plenty of water. Eating too much salt will cause the same water weight problem. Salt dehydrates you, and that will lead to the same exact dehydration issue as not drinking enough water. It's important to weigh yourself on the same scale each time. Every scale is a little different and could easily be a few pounds off. My scale at home shows me as about 4 pounds lighter than the scale at my Weight Watchers meeting. Part of that is that I have to wear clothes at the meeting, but you can also see this kind of variation on other scales. I can weigh myself at the gym the day before my meeting and get a really different reading between the two. Speaking of the gym, doing a hard workout can cause your muscles to retain water, so that can look like a gain on the scale. And, of course, women know that hormonal changes make a difference in your weight as well. The actual weight of the food that you've eaten from day to day can change. That food that's still being processed inside your body is also being weighed when you step on the scale. So if you've eaten physically heavier food one day, that could look like a gain. And along the same line of thought, if you weigh before you eat one day and then weigh after breakfast the next, you could easily appear heavier. There are probably 1,000 other little things that affect how much you weigh on any given day. I wouldn't be surprised if the location of the moon made a difference. Because of this kind of nonsense, it's very important to not get obsessed over the scale. Don't weigh yourself any more than once per day, and try to do it under very similar circumstances each time. I've seen over and over again that my weight fluctuates even over a week or two. I will often have gained 0.5 pound or a whole pound at my meetings for absolutely no real reason. The next week, or the week after that at the latest, it will be gone, and I'll be a slightly lower weight than before. The important thing here is to not freak out about it. The first time I gained weight while I was on Weight Watchers, I freaked out. I was so incredibly angry. After that meeting, I picked up a pizza and donuts and made myself sick with all of it. I don't know if it was self-punishment or just simply being upset at the gain or what. Then I ended up throwing away half of the junk I'd gotten because it made me feel so sick, and then I got back onto the plan. The second thing we're going to talk about is setbacks. There are 2 things to understand about setbacks. One, they happen. Setbacks come up, they just do. And 2, You have to keep going through these things. You can always learn something from the incident and be better off for it on the other side. Probably the most common setback is when you mess up, and I'm putting that in air quotes. It's in the quotes because the only real messing up you can do is to stop trying. If you mess up one meal, or one day, or even a whole week, that's not the end of it all. It doesn't mean you've blown it and that you might as well quit. It's all a large cumulative effect. Let's take a 6-month period, for example. Say, overall, you lost 1 pound per week. That would be a loss of 24 pounds over your 6 months. But say you messed up twice and ate a whole box of cookies and a whole pizza and caused yourself to gain 4 pounds back. You'd still have lost 20 pounds over the 6 months. Now, say you have your little mess up with a box of cookies 2 months into it. You had already lost 8 pounds, but then you ate a box of cookies and a pizza and gained 2 pounds back. You freaked out, got disappointed in yourself, and quit. So now you've lost 6 pounds, but you've quit your plan and gone back to a poor way of eating, and you gain it all back plus a little more. So clearly you can see which scenario is better. The truth is that if you stick to your plan around 85% of the time, you'll be doing very well. You don't have to be perfect. There might be times in your life when weight loss just isn't an option. Family emergencies, for example. If something like that comes up, it's completely okay to put your weight loss program on hold for a little while. There's no need to create extra stress in your life. You can always do your best during these difficult times. You can try to make good choices without counting every single point or calorie. And then when things settle down, you can get back to it. I think that a really common mistake people make is quitting a plan when they run into trouble, and then starting a new plan, and then quitting that one, and on and on. This leads to the yo-yo dieting that so many people seem to be doing. They lose 10 pounds on one plan, quit, gain 10 pounds back, start a new plan, lose 10 pounds, quit again, etc. This is not a good pattern. It can seriously hurt your metabolism, and you'll only get more and more frustrated with yourself. You can do the same math on this that we did before. If you would have stuck to one plan the entire time, you'd be much farther along. I've also heard a few people say things like, "I always lose 15 pounds, and then for some reason I can't get past that point." To me, this is really interesting. What is it about this point where suddenly they can't continue? My guess would be that something in their brain snaps and says, "Oh my god, we're actually losing weight. Things are changing." Change can be really scary, always for a variety of different reasons. If this is you, I'd really encourage you to sit down with yourself and identify what's going through your mind when you hit this weight loss wall that comes up. You can use meditation, you can talk with close friends or family members about it, or you can just try and be honest with yourself. The answer is probably right there if you're willing to see it. The next problem is the issue of losing weight really slowly. This has always been my big problem. It took me 5 years to lose 45 pounds. Then I started Weight Watchers about 7 months ago, and I've lost another 20 pounds since then. So that's much faster than before, but it's still very much on the slow side of things. Just to make sure that we're on the same page with this, a healthy rate of weight loss is 0.5 pound to 2.5 pounds per week. Many people lose 1 or 2 pounds per week on average and claim that they're slow losers. Well, they're not. If you lose 1 or 2 pounds per week on average, you're right on track. Slow weight loss can be incredibly frustrating. I know that I'm doing everything I should, and yet week after week I lose 0.5 pound, gain 0.5 pound, lose 1 pound, gain 1.5 pounds. It's a downward trend overall, but it takes me 2 or more months to lose 5 pounds. And this is when I'm really doing what I'm supposed to do. And the theme of this episode isn't to investigate methods for losing weight, so right now we won't get into why this happens. It could be a lot of different things, and I'll probably talk about them later on. But what I want to point out here to everyone, as well as to myself, is that a slow rate of weight loss is better than no weight loss at all. It can often feel like I'm getting nowhere, so maybe I should just give up. but I would truly get nowhere if I just gave up. I've also heard many times that slower losers have a higher rate of keeping their weight off for the long run. I haven't seen any actual data on this, but I do know that I'm certainly not going to allow myself to gain any of the weight back after I've worked for so hard for so long to lose it. And the last thing I want to talk about is quitting. Every time you see a commercial for a workout machine or a weight loss plan, they say, "Results not typical." Now, this isn't because the equipment or the plan doesn't work. It's because the people who use them quit. Or they don't follow the plan or use the machine properly, but that's a whole different issue. Mostly, the problem is that people use the machine for a few weeks and then start hanging towels on it. Or they follow the eating plan for a while until they run into some setback and they quit. You might be wondering why I'm spending so much time talking about things like quitting, pushing through setbacks, and how we need to make weight loss a priority. The reason is that quitting is why most people don't manage to lose the weight they want to lose. I also get the impression is that people sort of don't want to hear this, which really just shows how true it is. So, listen. You've got to hear this because it's one of the most important things to understand. If you quit, you won't get to your goal. If you quit, you will stop losing weight, and you'll probably gain it back. The only thing that will get to your goal is sticking to your program. I know that you know this, so what's going on? What are your excuses? You're too busy, you're too tired, you're too poor, you're too what? As long as you think you're too busy, too tired, too poor, too whatever, you'll be holding yourself back. If you want more information on these kinds of excuses, go back and listen to episode 3, Making It a Priority. I know that a lot of you missed that one, and I think it's because people are shying away from being told these things. Because here's the truth. You can lose weight. You can get to your goal. Unless you have some sort of medical condition, and if that's the case, that's a whole different story. But you, who's listening to this, without some unusual medical condition, you can lose your weight. The only reason you haven't so far is because you haven't made it a priority in your life, and you haven't really committed to it. And that's all well and good for me to say, but you're the one who has to figure out why you haven't committed to it. Everyone has hang-ups in their minds about this. I can't tell you what your hang-ups are. I wish I could. But even if I could, it wouldn't do anything because you would still have to come to the realization on your own. To sum up this episode, quitting will get you nowhere. Sticking with your plan will get you somewhere. You absolutely can get to your goal weight. All it takes is some commitment on your part, and you'll get there. This podcast has a companion blog at realweightlosspodcast.blogspot.com. If you would like to add to any of these things I've gone over in this episode, or ask any questions, you can go to the blog and leave a comment or send me an email. I really do love hearing from you. I'd also like to take a moment to encourage you to leave a comment in iTunes or whichever podcast directory you might have found this in. In addition to raising its popularity, your comments will help others to be able to find this podcast more easily. Thanks again for listening. Keep up the good work.